live from our studios on Etimia, Christian Victoria Island, Lagos, Nigeria. I'm Sheriff Quadri.
I'm Jimmy Lisu. Good morning.
You can watch us live on Facebook. We are also live on YouTube. Nigeria Info 99.3 is how you can join us on those two platforms. We have quite a bit of stories this morning. Let's start with this one here on page 12 of the Punch newspaper. The story reads, court remands Sheun Kuti, police comb home for exhibits.
Okay, so a quick background in case, you know, you're out of the country and listening to us for the first time. Sheun Kuti, I don't know whether to use was alleged, but we saw the video anyway, slapped a policeman, and of course he was brought in so that he could be prosecuted. And he's been in detention for about 2 days, and the police claim that they went in front of a magistrate and claimed that they needed 21 days to investigate. Slapping a policeman in public, 21 days to investigate. Not just that, it is claimed, I don't know for sure, but it's claimed, showed up yesterday. I think it was Shimon's lawyer that claimed that. They said that the policeman who had been slapped about 2-3 days earlier allegedly followed Sheun home and to collect money and so on and so forth, was now in a coma in an undisclosed hospital. That also came up. So what do you get from that? You see that there's every attempt to make sure that before the court pronounces judgment on his punishment, he gets his own side of things. And that is beginning to be an unfortunate incident. The magistrates, of course, with a good discretion, he said that no, within, what are you investigating? Within 2 days, Sheun should go home, and granted him bail. Only for us to read later that the police stormed his apartment. This is what the eyewitness said. The eyewitness, police officers invaded Sheun's home here on my street, Akin Oshiemi, and he was in the vehicle with them while in handcuffs. They stormed his apartment in search of exhibits. And they also seized his wife's phone. I don't know if they got a court order to seize the wife's phone before driving off with Sheun Kuti. Now, the police have to be very, very careful here. And they should watch it. It's beginning to become like persecution. If he slapped the policeman, fair enough. We have the video to see. Have that led to setting of his own? I would like to know. How it would take you 21 days for you to arraign the man in court and finish, quote and unquote, your investigation is something I would also like to know. The police need to be careful. We have all said, most people have condemned Sheun's act, okay? And we have all stood up for the police, even though some of us have very strong sentimental attachment to this gentleman. But don't spoil it by being overzealous. That is my advice to the police. Don't spoil this by being overzealous before it now becomes a full-blown crisis. You know, because there is tension in the land. Everywhere is tense. We also know about police brutality. We are not going to say that we don't know these things. But we have all said that, look, in spite of police brutality, another video went up yesterday. In spite of that, we say that Sheun should not have retaliated. But if you now begin to persecute him, the tables might change. Charge this gentleman to court. Let him have his day in court. And let everybody learn lessons. I don't think what they're doing is fully professional. Because you need to look at the optics. So you had it in for him. Okay, maybe because some video went viral and he said a few things. That's a separate thing entirely. Whatever you feel, just like whatever we feel about the police, we cannot slap them or beat them up in uniform. We must show restraint. The police, too, in dealing with suspects, must also show restraint. It won't be nice for us to perceive that a police force of a country, you know, is persecuting an individual of that country beyond the crime that he has committed. If they have an explanation for raiding his house, we would love to know. I think they owe us an explanation about that. So my advice once again to the police and to every other person, Let us, look, we've done it. It's been done. Let him go to court. Let the court decide, and let's move on to other things. Let's look for more fish to fry. Okay? So that's where we are this morning. And the lawyer also says that the police did not allow his wife access to give him food in the cell. That the consequence of this for Shionkuti was that his wife was refused the privilege of delivering a meal to him in the evening of Monday, even though there was no or other arrangement in place to have him fed. I hope the police take note of this. The man must be fed 3 times a day, please.
Indeed. Let's quickly take this one here on page 4 of the Daily Trust newspaper. The story reads, real reasons Tinubu met Kwankwaso ex-MSNUC in Paris.
This is very good political news. This is the kind of news that journalists love. So apparently, Tinubu met Kwankwaso in Paris, according to the "Will you stop drinking that tea?" he met Kwankwaso and the Emma of Kano, Muhammadu Sanusi. He met two of them in Paris. And it is said that he extended a hand of friendship with a view to working together after he takes over from Buhari in May 29. Give it to him, I must say. Whatever you might feel about Tinubu, when it comes to politics, he knows his onions. Maybe some of the onions you might not like, but when it comes to politics, he knows his onions. So there were 3 separate meetings to strengthen ties. It is reported here that he told Kwankwaso to choose between the Ministry of Agri and that of Education. Those are 2 fat ministries. So he said, choose Agri or choose Education.
Kwankwaso contested against him, by the way.
Yeah, he did, yes. I thought people would know that. What money?
You reminded them. Yes.
Okay,
yes.
Very good. So he says that it is not clear whether Kwankwaso will accept to serve as a minister in the event that they seal the partnership, or he will give the slot to one of his loyalists. Here you see, those of us who are hitting our heads against the wall, I keep telling you, stay in the onlookers' corner. You see the deals that are going on. Those of you who are supporting Kwankwaso or Tinubu abusing each other, they haven't asked any one of you to come and be minister or whatever. So you can see, bottom line is about power. And I can tell you this. Thanksgiving, Emily. So, even Senator Oluremi Tinubu received Kwankwaso's wife. Tinubu laid out everything. From all corners, you know. And he even wants to reconcile Kwankwaso and Ganduje. Okay, so that's it. And okay, so now the Trust, the Daily Trust, which is like number one northern paper, said that there were no details of what Kwankwaso and Emma Sanusi discussed. Of what Kwankwaso discussed with Tinubu, okay. But the source said they also met for 2 hours and discussion may not be unconnected with the recent political developments in Kano. However, Daily Trust reports that there were rumors that the incoming NNPP government in Kano will revisit the dethronement of Muhammadu Sanusi. Are we going to see Sanusi becoming Emir of Kano again? However, in a viral video posted on social media in April, Kwankwaso said he was confident that the governor-elect of the state would have the wisdom to resolve the challenges in the state. But whatever happened between Kwankwaso and Sanusi remains sketchy. So that's the political update for you. We move on to the next story.
Yes, let's quickly move on to the next story. We have quite a bit of them to this morning. Page 4 of the Vanguard. This story reads, Buhari baffled by pervasive level of corruption presidency.
You know they read paper. I don't know. Spokesman. Oh, my God. This is according to Shehu Gaba. Let me read what the story says before I give my comment. It said, the presidency yesterday said that Buhari was baffled by the high level of corruption still prevalent in the country, despite efforts by his government to fight the malaise, which means that he has failed. And in this government, you know, the way we perceive this Buhari's government that is going, the level of corruption was phenomenal. He, however, noted that the president was above scandal and had no account with corrupt money. We are not interested in what the president has. A lot of us put our lives on the line to support Buhari way back then because principally we thought he would fight corruption like he did in 1984. But he didn't do that. Unfortunately. You know? And Garba Shehu says, who said in an interview yesterday, says, if you ask the president this question, why corruption is still alive in the country, he will equally tell you he is baffled. That means he didn't know what to do by the fact that people who otherwise would have been in jail are riding their Rolls Royce and their aircraft roaming around. You see where we are, Sheriff. Even the president was baffled. You know? But the excuse given by Garba, which I don't buy, it says, however, the moment the president or the executive take these cases to court, his job is done. No. His job is not done. I'd like my colleagues to ask President Buhari, in case they are invited for his last interview, that now that you admit that you didn't know what to do, the legacy, the man you are passing on, you batting on to, who is a member of your party, do you think he might do better in the fight against corruption? I'd love to ask him that question. Do you think, have you briefed him to say that, look, this is what happened, and therefore, these are the things that you should do? Do you think that he has the burning fire that you had? Because when Buhari came, we all thought, and naively for that matter, that Buhari would tackle two things. We thought he would tackle corruption, and we thought he would tackle security, whilst his vice would do all the other technical jobs like the economy and so on and so forth. Little did we know. We learned a big lesson with this, the support that one had for Buhari, that politicians are very, very difficult to support. If Shehu doesn't know, the way I perceive Buhari is somebody who, I'm sorry to put it, but I need to put it in, somebody who cared more for himself than he did for the country. He took care of his health. He was always going abroad, but being very careful. A lot of things would happen. The president would be missing in action. That is the way, if I were to write the history of Buhari's tenure, that's what I'm going to put down. You garnered support from people, a lot of support. They won, and then we'll be crying over this, we'll be crying over that, nepotism, this and that, corruption. We cried corruption, we did everything. And lo and behold, I think the gentleman, to a large extent, just took care of himself. The issue of the government, the process to continue the good works he has done and where it has landed us, is the story for another day, not today.
Let me take care of myself too.
Will you stop that
thing? I want to take care of myself.
You're very lucky. If my mother had been alive, Ikolomagwa, with that slurping of the tea, which you do to irritate me. Afusa, she would have given you. My mother had, she knew how to give a forward knock. That is the code that comes from the backhand, the angle of fiam, and very fast.
Well, why did they do that?
My friend Tewo Sholanka is in New York, maybe he'll be sleeping now. His own mom was a high heel. So later in life, when I visited Mama about 3 years ago, I said, Mama, where are all those your high heel shoes? Mama only one. He was high heel shoes. And you know, those were the days.
Yeah.
It wasn't for just Tewo and Agbo. It was for any one of us.
Anybody.
Mama, like, but I am alluding.
Anybody. If you are not close by, they will fling it. They will send it to you. They will courier the shoes.
You know, children of today will go, Mommy, I went to Auntie Ngozi's house. She beat me with this thing. You try and tell your parents then that when you went to your friend's house, the mom used the shoe on you. Your mom will drag you back to the place, take the shoe, and
continue the beating. Those days.
It's
crazy. Let's take our next story from the page 18 of the Punch. Yes, this story says, Afeniferi hails Tinubu's peace moves to Buddy George.
I tell you that in all honesty, Tinubu is a very astute politician. So he sent a delegation to meet Chief Buddy George sometime last week, I think. We saw the photographs. I spoke to Chief Buddy George. He confirmed it. And, okay, so what did they discuss? I'll be asking Chief Buddy George tomorrow at 9 o'clock.
Oh,
on the Daily Digest. I'm going to have Chief Buddy George. I mean, what man and need answer. And tomorrow we will try and see if we can get a feel of the way his mind is working on that. But I give kudos to the APC. You know, they just haven't won the election and sat on their ass. In fact, the job has just begun for them. To get legitimacy for Ashwaju's government, to be very honest with you, is not going to be easy. With the various revelations, BBC report, and of course the things that everybody sees. But I am seeing that he is ready to fight it out. And if there's one thing about that gentleman, he's a fighter. So it's going to be interesting to see as we move along. But so who were the people who paid a visit to Chief Buddy George in his house? Yoruba elders, including Justice Ishola Lorunimbe, is retired. Tajudeen Olusi, is the leader of the GAC, Governance Advisory Council, in Lagos. And he said that Chief Buddy George is quoted to have said that they came to apologize to him over past issues. I don't know which word. Do you have an idea?
No idea.
And sought his support for the president-elect. Remember, he said that he was going to leave the country if Tinubu wins. And so Afeniferi are happy that all this is happening and so on and so forth. It would be nice if people can mend fences, but, you know, also realize as leaders that the principles that you stood on, it would be nice if you consult your people first so that you don't go in one direction and they go in the other. The lesson in all this, again, between PDP and APC supporters, Shetty Rinsi, did anybody pay any delegation to your own house? All the people that you young guys and even people of my age were abusing because of support, can you look them in the eye now? When you support a party, propagate whatever it is, do not engage in insulting people. If any one of them now takes you to court, you're on your own. But that's a story for another day.
Let's take a look at these stories here on pages 4 and 5.
Oh, yes. This is the Metro. Armed men kidnap 15 from an Abuja estate. Kidnappers abduct Oyo farmer and demand 30 million. The family of a cattle dealer, Olushola Anyoshola, has been thrown into confusion after kidnappers who abducted him along Otu Alaga Road in Oyo demanded 30 million. But the farmer had already 30 million. Ogun threatens to shut food outlets for poor hygiene. You don't threaten to shut food outlets. You shut them.
Yeah.
I don't like this backing and backing everywhere. We have reports that there are some people who want to destabilize. You go after them and let's see. You know, you set an example. So let the governor, he has threatened to close down eateries and food outlets. No, by the time you close down 5, 6, 10 of them, the others will sit up. EFCC hands over operatives to police for killing colleague. Yes, I saw this one yesterday. The young chap was killed by his colleagues.
Yeah.
40 suspected Ogun cultists in police net. Police arrest first suspected kidnappers of a Ebonyi monarch. And what else? 3 injured as gunmen attack commercial vehicle in Ekiti. This reminds me of one of my friends, elderly man from Ekiti.
Okay.
Oh, Fiku Yelua.
What was I trying to say?
Fiku vehicle.
Oh, wow.
Didn't I tell you the story of a politician in Ibadan? He met many years back.
Yeah.
There will be anarchy and chaos.
Anytime you say that, it cracks me up. Cracks me up real good.
There will be anarchy and chaos.
That is it too. There's a story here on page 7, though. The Punch. Senate transmits independent candidacy bill to Buhari for assent.
Oh, look at when this is now coming. Anyway, if this bill is agreed to by Buhari, and if Buhari not agreed, they'll pass it to Tinubu. I'm sure he would. Means that we can now, thankfully, have independent candidates from local government up to federal level.
Which is good.
The local government is the one that now thrills me. Because in some areas, people have people of note, you know, that they would want to run. I remember, I think it was in Ishanland or so. Is it Ishanland or Ishanland? In Edo one time. A retired executive director of an oil company was called upon by his people to come and run the local government. You know, they know his worth. Well, what was he going to do? He's not going to be ready to, because he wants to blow man, because he's not a party man. He's not one to be involved in all those things. I think once we start it, once this thing, you know, forget about presidency for now, but you will then find that in local governments, the local people will be saying that, would then be saying that this is who we want to run the local government. And you most likely you'll be able to have better service and better politics played at that level. Instead of what you have, you won't believe what you have in some states, Sheriff. They say Abuja has said that this is the man who should go.
Yep.
You know, Abuja has said that this is who should go. Abuja has said this. So it's a good development. I hope the president signs it. But if he doesn't sign it, I hope Tinubu signs it.
But another thing, as regards this independent candidacy thing, conversation is whether so communities themselves would now be able to put aside whatever sentiments that they have, the tribal sentiments, because you have some communities where the people that are really driving change there are not originally from there.
Yes.
And then will communities at that point now, I'm hoping that this would be said to.
Can I shock you?
Yeah.
I don't know about now. I did my youth service in 1980. As at that time, you would have one or two communities in Nigeria rooting for the copper. Yes. We take our people in the rural communities, we take them for granted, as if they don't know. No. You will find that in some coppers were given chieftaincy titles. In appreciation of the, Nigeria was not like this in 1980. There was no social media. There was no this. Everywhere was calm. There was relatively enough to feed everybody. But in some communities, just like you said, maybe somebody has been a headmaster for 30 years and they know him. They say, okay, go and run our local government for 4 years. Now that the Nigerian whatever scenario has changed now, with all this sensitivity about state of origin and this and that, all of those things, it might be a bit far-fetched. But in the past, it would have been no big deal. It's just now we've had, but there are pockets of people in Nigeria who have run elections in certain places. In Kaduna State one time, they had about two commissioners that were from the West. Yes, it's a very good development. The parties will suffer for it.
Yeah.
Yes.
Or they will sit up.
Would they sit up? You see, what this also does is that it is probably and hopefully going to make politics a bit more sophisticated.
Yeah.
People like you and I can now decide. I can now decide that, okay, I want to run my local government. You know, with the youths and everything. I can decide I want to run Lagos mainland local government, galvanize all the youth. I never want to walk, you know.
You're already in that mood.
Yeah.
I can see that you're in the mood straight.
It excites me, you know, because, you know, politics has been made to look like bad business because of the way it's been. I want to serve my people. In reality, not all this service. I first of all have to go and take a mat and sleep somewhere to get somebody's permit. Nobody wants to do that. But with this now, that you know, you will see if this bill goes through, you'll see what the next election would look like. Some people can even run for governorship without belonging to a party.
Yeah.
We have now seen that the issue of structure is a mirage. We've seen that all this hula baloo about structure, that political climate, how can you win an election without structure? You can. If you can mobilize well.
Let's go. That's our show today. Debomi is next at 9.
I might just want to run for governorship in 4 years' time.
That's it. This is a center to Abi.
Papa is there.
Yeah. In 4 years' time.
That's Lule.
No. You cannot Lule anytime soon.
Yeah. Yeah, let's go.
Let's be going. Thank you so much for coming. All right. Lagos has our show. He's back at 9 for the Ebomi Daily Digest. But for now, we have to go. Thank you all for being a part of this. Let's conclude our conversation on drug addiction. Dr. Aladejare Samuel is joining us on the show this morning.
Whenever I tell people I'm a full-time master's student and a content creator,
I want to assume that you would run because I want to give the listeners context for the conversation.
In 2019, you were running mate to Atiku Abubakar. What did you learn then that you will not repeat this time?
Yes, when is the president coming out to address us?
There's a few things. One, I have a burden and a passion for young people.
The fact that you have elected a man does not mean then you begin to order him around. The president will do whatever is good for the country at any given time.
Mr. Adesina, isn't the president responsible to the people?
What should the next president do to root out stakeholders who are complicit?
You fire those that need to be fired are fired.
It's looking like a brand new Chelsea, attacking with so much fluidity. Now, what can you say about that, Martin? I know you follow Chelsea quite closely.
I live close to the Chelsea training ground. That's what you mean by that. I'm not